Amen.
Thank you, Mike. Good morning, everyone. It is great to see you. All right, excited about this morning. We had a really, really awesome service, first service, and we're praying that the Lord will do some great things in this service. We are going to do something a little bit different this morning. If you've been with us for many years, then you'll know what you've probably seen this, but we've been meeting now as a church going on 28 years. It's getting close to 28 years. And we started a few years back a tradition, and sometimes people hate traditions, but not all traditions are bad. But we started a tradition here that in between books, because what we do is we teach through an entire book. We just finished the book of Galatians, and so in between books, when we're going to start a new book, between that, we'll do what we call a body ministry Sunday. And we will spend some time praying for the needs in this church and the needs that you have. Now, someone asked me what I'm going to teach next. And I don't know for sure yet. I'm kind of praying about it because we've already taught all the way through in these 27, almost 28 years now. We've taught all the way through the Bible. We've done every book so far. So anything that we do now is a second time. And we've done Galatians for the second time and things like that. So it's going to be a surprise, I guess, because I'm praying about it and we'll see what happens next week. It reminded me of a story happened to me. One of the guys in this church, his name was Danny Montoya. They moved to Albuquerque, and Danny and I were good friends. Even before he got saved, I was a believer, and we had gone hunting one time. And he was not a Christian yet. I was praying for him and witnessing to him and all that. And we went out hunting. And we left early in the morning before it even got light, and we started hiking looking for deer. And we hiked the whole day. We had backpacks, we had our lunches in there and all that. And we hiked the entire day, and we never found a deer. We were on our way back to the camp, and it just exhausted. We had been quiet all day long. When you're hunting, you can't be making noise. So we're quiet all day long, and finally we're just like, there's no deer out here kind of thing. And so we're walking, and he goes, "Hey, man, I got a joke for you." I'm like, "Okay, what is it?" He goes, "There were these three guys that went to get a job, and they were looking for a job, and they came to a mine. And they got to the mine, and they found the mine owner, and the mine owner, they said, 'Hey, can we get a job from you?' And one guy was a black guy, big Mexican dude, and then a little Chinaman. And so they were there asking for a job, and the guy looks at all three of them. He goes, 'I think I can hire you guys.' He tells the big black guy, he goes, 'You and here, I'm going to give you this hammer. You go in there and you break these rocks.' He tells the big Mexican dude, 'You put them inside this little train thing and you push them out and dump them outside.' And then he looks at the little Chinaman. He's a real tiny, scrawny guy. And he goes, 'I'll put you in charge of supplies,' he says. So he leaves. He said, 'I'll be back in a week.' And he comes back a week later, and there's the black guy breaking the rocks. There's a Mexican dude putting him in the thing and pushing him out. And he says to the guys, he goes, 'Hey, where's the Chinaman?' They go, 'We don't know. We haven't seen him for a whole week.' And the guy's like, 'Oh, no, he probably got lost. He's probably dead in the mine somewhere, so many mine shafts.' And so he gets a lantern, and we got to go find him. And so they're looking for him, and, 'Chinaman, Chinaman.' And all of a sudden he jumps out, 'Supplies!' And so anyway, right after that happened, the second I started laughing to that stupid joke, a deer stood up and ran away, and we didn't get him. So I always remember that joke. I've remembered it for like probably 30-some years. And so anyway, next week will be a surprise for you and see what book we get into. But this morning, we're going to do something a little bit different. So turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. And we're going to look at something that Paul the Apostle wrote concerning the church. Now, it's interesting that these guys love to use illustrations, physical illustrations, things from everyday life, to bring out spiritual truths. And that's what this is. And so, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 12, Paul says this: "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body." Now, he's talking about the human body, okay? He's giving us an anatomy lesson here. He says, "So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. We were all given one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be, and they were all, if they were all one part, where would the body be? So the point that he's making here is that in the church, we have different functions, different parts of the body do different things. But we couldn't all just be the same part, because then there would be no body. And then he says, as it is, there are many parts but one body. Just like with the human body, different functions. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. Well, I said in the first service, maybe not in this culture. Now, while our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Now listen to this. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So Paul is saying here that in the church, there are lots of different people with different gifts, different talents, different abilities, and God has arranged the parts of the body, the church, your life, my life, the way he intended for them to be. You may have a different gift or a different talent or different calling on your life than I do, but as a church, we need each other. We are dependent upon each other as Christians. We are interdependent upon one another in the body of Christ. I need you, you need me, she needs you, he needs her, that kind of thing. So Paul, what he does is he lays something interesting out at the end of this expose that he gives on the body and its different parts. He says this, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part is honored with it. Now, you all know how that works, right, in your physical body. You know that if one part suffers in your physical body, then your whole body suffers, right? Has anyone, just out of curiosity, I did the survey in the first service, you can raise your hand if this applies to you. Has anyone in here ever broken a finger? Anyone? A few of you? Has anyone in here ever smashed your thumb? That's funny. A lot of bad carpenters in here, right? Yeah, so I've done that too, and it hurts like crazy. Anyone in here ever broke a toe? Anyone broke a toe? Wow, a lot of you clumsies. Okay, just kidding. I broke my toe one time too, my little toe. It hurt like crazy. In fact, I snapped it and it went this way. Oh, yeah. That's exactly what I said. But I think a little bit louder than that. I don't know. has anyone in here ever ripped a toenail off? Really? Yeah, quite a few of you. I did that and it hurt like crazy. I remember. A quick toenail story. I've told this story before, but it is funny. My daughter, my other daughter's laughing now because she already knows. Well, we were in Mexico one time, and we were in this swimming pool, and my daughter gets out of the swimming pool, and she's climbing out, and she slips, and she tears her toenail off, her big toenail, just tears it off. Well, the first thing, you know, like me, if that would happen to me, I'd be like concerned about the pain and all that. No, that's not what she did. First thing she does is she Googles to see if her toenail will grow back. She started crying because she was scared. What if my toenail grows back, never grows back, and I have an ugly toe the rest of my life? You know, she's crying and stuff. So anyway, so she sits down and it's bleeding, it's ugly and all that. And so I call over to one of the guys there and I ask him if he could bring a first aid kit over. So, you know, I'm going to try to help her because my wife can't stand blood. If she sees blood, she'll faint. So I'm the one that has to work on her toenail. And so Ariana gets grossed out too. She was there and she didn't want to see it. And so I start working on her toe. And I put some, I call it Neosporin just to bug my wife, but I think it's Neosporin or something. I put some of that on her toe, and then I get some gauze and I'm wrapping her toe. And so I'm wrapping it, trying to be gentle and all this, but I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nurse, right? So I'm so I'm working on her toe. Well, I kind of lose focus for a second, and I need this toe, this other toe, to get out of the way so that I can put the tape around the big toe. So what I do is I grab her big toe on the top, and I go, and she's like, "Ah, Dad!" And she just starts screaming at me, you know. It's and so I'm like, "Oh, sorry, sorry." She goes, "You're the worst nurse ever. You know, you're never working on me again. You know," and all this stuff. So finally, we get finished, you know. And so we're sitting there, and she's still seething mad and crying and in pain. And then I look over and I see the guy that gave us this first aid kit. So I called him back over, and I stand up to go walk over there, and I step on her toe. It wasn't funny. Not to her. But anyways, so if you've ever had something like that happen, you know that if you hurt something, everything on you at that moment is focused on the pain, right? How many of you have ever broken an arm? Anyone ever broke an arm? Right? Anyone ever broke a leg? Right? So anytime you break anything like that, your whole focus now is on the part that suffers. So Paul says, in the church, if one part suffers, we all suffer with it. Now I realize in a church this size that there are many different needs. And a lot of us come into this room representing, of course, different needs. And some of you have come in here this morning and things have really been going great in your life. The Lord's been blessing, things have been happening wonderfully, and you're rejoicing. Well, what we want to do with you this morning, if you have something that you want to share with our leaders and when we're up here, a praise report, you want to give God thanks for something that he's done or doing, we want to be up here with you. I forgot to announce this, but what we're going to do is we're going to spend time praying for you guys. That's basically what I'm going to talk about here in a second, a little bit more. But also, there are people watching online, and if they're watching online, I've been told to tell you this. If you're online and you need prayer, then we can pray for you online. We're going to have some people online on our website. It's called live.calvarysilver.com. live.calvarysilver.com. And you can hit the prayer request button, and then there'll be people there to pray with you live, okay? So just in case you're watching, because I know some people aren't back at church yet, but they may need prayer as well. So what we want to do is we want to have the elders, the leaders up here, and we're going to pray with you. Now, maybe you've come in here and you have a need, a physical need. Maybe you're suffering a physical ailment, and it could be anything. What's great about God is that with God, nothing is impossible. And so what we're going to do is we're going to do what James chapter 5 tells us to do in that situation. If you go to the doctor and you have an ailment and you say, "Doc, here's what's going on," then the doctor will give you maybe a prescription and say, "Do this," or "Here's this, take this to the drugstore, get this," whatever. Well, God's given us a prescription for our needs when we are suffering, when we are struggling with something, and he's given us the prescription in the book of James chapter 5. So if you have a Bible, turn over to James chapter 5, and here's what it says. In James chapter 5, verse 13, "Is any of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise." So what we're going to do, we're going to be up here praying, and if you're happy, you're joyful, this will be a great time of you just to worship the Lord and thank him and praise him. And we're going to have the worship team up here while we're doing the prayer time. But he says, if any of you are sick here, and if you need prayer because you're sick, we will anoint you with oil and do what James says here, or the book of James says here, and we will anoint you in the name of the Lord. And then it says, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. So we in faith are going to believe that God will heal you, and that he's the God that can, and of course, we know nothing's impossible for God. And so it says, the Lord will raise him up, Now notice this though. It says, if he has sinned. Now there are times, I've talked about this many times in the scripture over the years. There are times, not doesn't mean every time, but there are times that sin will actually possibly bring discipline into our lives and maybe even illness. So he says, if he sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So maybe you need to come up here and you've been struggling with stuff and you need to confess and say, you know what, I've been blowing it and I want to give my life, recommit my life to the Lord. Maybe you're a prodigal son and you've drifted away from the Lord and maybe the Lord's brought you under discipline and today you want to recommit your heart to Christ. I encourage you to do that. But maybe you're here this morning and you're not a believer. You've never given your life to Jesus and you know in your heart that you're not saved and if you died right now, you don't know if you're going to go to heaven or hell. Well, you can know. And the Bible tells us that if we believe that we have eternal life, we can have that assurance that if we trust in Christ and we give our lives to him and we put our faith in him, that we will be forgiven and we will be given the gift of eternal life. But we have to receive that. So if you're here this morning and you're not a believer and you want to give your life to Christ, come up here and say, I want to give my life to Christ and we will pray for you. So he goes on and he says, to pray for one another that you may be healed. And then it says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if any of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. It's a blessing to know that if we've gone astray, we can come home and the Lord will cover over. He will forgive us and from us. So forgiveness of sins is available to us when we ask him. So these are the things that we want to pray for you about. Now, your need may be spiritual. Maybe it's mental. Maybe it's emotional. Maybe it's financial. Maybe you need wisdom. Maybe you need direction. Maybe you're asking the Lord to show you what he wants you to do. The Bible says the thing that we should do, whatever we have going on, is to come to the Lord with it. Let me show you one of my favorite verses in the Gospel of Matthew, and it's in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. These are the words of Jesus, and I love this. Jesus says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I love what Jesus says here. We come and give him our burdens. We're weary, we're burdened. He says, come to me, give those to me, and I will take them from you. I will give you rest, and then I'll put my yoke on you, which is easy, and my burden, which is light. And he says, you will find rest for your souls. The soul is the mind, the emotion, the will, the inner you. He says, you'll find rest for your soul. Now, what does the Lord tell us concerning prayer? He tells us to ask. Look at Luke chapter 11. And Luke chapter 11 is another great illustration that Jesus teaches us about prayer. Luke chapter 11 verse 9 says this, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened." So we have this great invitation from the Lord just to come to him and to ask whatever it is we need. Then he says in verse 11, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead?" Now none of us good fathers would ever do that to our kid, right? Or he says, if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. No way, that would be horrible, right? He says, if you then, though you are evil, and by nature we are sinful and fallen, he said, even though you're evil and you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So we can come and we can ask, maybe you want to be filled with the Spirit today. Maybe you're dry and you need a fresh filling. We can pray for that as well. We have so many scriptures given to us about what we need to do when it comes to prayer. Here's another one, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. I love this one. Peter says this, He says, humble yourselves. Now, let me just say this. It's hard for you, I know, to get up here and walk up here and tell someone, hey, I'm going through this or I'm struggling with this. I need prayer for this. I know that's hard. But it takes humility. But here's what God says he will do for us if we will humble ourselves. Humble yourselves. So as we humble ourselves, he will lift us up. Then he says this, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So the Lord is saying, give me what's on your heart, what's going on in your life. Cast your anxiety upon me, the Lord says, because he cares. The Lord cares about what's happening in your life, about everything in your life. Psalm 55 verse 22 says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. Psalm 68 verse 19 says, praise be to the Lord our God, our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. I love that. We can come to the Lord daily and say, Lord, I need your help. I need this or I need that. And it says he daily bears our burdens. Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death. So the Bible says that God is an ever-present help in trouble. He's there for us. So I don't know what burden you may have come in with this morning. If you came in with a burden, all I want to say is this. Don't leave with that burden. If you came in with one, don't leave with it. Cast it upon the Lord. Literally, it means to roll it over onto him, and he will carry it for you. God's shoulders are much bigger and much stronger than any of ours, and he can take it. Now, let me be clear about something else. That whatever is going on in your life, God already knows, and he cares, but he tells us to ask. He tells us to seek him. He tells us to come near to him. And I believe that he cares about every aspect of our lives, spirit, our soul, and our bodies. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and you can turn there and listen to what Paul says here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 23. He says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you. That means to be set you apart for himself for holy use. May he sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful. God, he's faithful, and he will do it. So you might have come in here this morning. Maybe you came in here this morning and you came in here wounded. Maybe you came in here broken or brokenhearted or hurt. Something really bad has happened in your life. And it's caused you to be devastated. It's caused you to stop in your tracks. You're not progressing anymore. God, I believe, wants to heal you no matter what's happened. And he wants you to be able to move forward. The Lord doesn't want us to be living in the past. He doesn't want us to be hindered carrying the past around like a giant ball and chain. He wants us to throw off everything that hinders and run with perseverance the race that he has set before us. Now, maybe you came in here, like I said, and that thing could have happened to you a week ago. It could have happened to you a month ago. It could have happened to you 5 years ago. It could have happened to you in your childhood. And I have met people that are carrying burdens still today from their childhood. And I want to tell you that the Lord can heal you. When I was a little boy, just to give you an example, when I was a little boy, I was in kindergarten, I got molested by a high school kid. And I'll tell you, it affected me in a horrible way until I was 20 years old and I gave my life to Christ, and then the Lord did a miracle and he healed me. He took away the anger. He took away the bitterness. He took away the shame. He took away the guilt. And I remember I saw the guy after I got saved, and the Lord had to deal with me when I saw him because I realized there was still problems inside. I wanted to kill him. And the Lord said, no, you need to forgive him. And I did that day, and the Lord really healed me when I was willing to forgive what the guy did to me. So I've been through some awful stuff. Maybe you've come in here this morning, and you're suffering with guilt because you were involved in abortion. As a male, I did that same horrible thing. I aborted some of my kids. And I felt a tremendous amount of guilt and sadness and heartache. And when I came to Christ, the Lord lifted that from me and he took that away and he forgave me the guilt of my sin. So there's a lot of things that you might be carrying as you come in here. Maybe you were raped, whatever. Doesn't matter, the Lord can heal you. Maybe you've come in here fearful. And maybe fear has been driving your life, or actually, should I say, paralyzing your life. And instead of walking by faith, you've been ruled and you've been incapacitated by fear. I want to read to you something that I wrote this week and on my Facebook page as I was thinking about this topic this morning. And the thing about fear is that fear really is, the Bible tells us a lot of negative things about fear, a lot. And it's something that we have to realize that God does not want us to be living in. And I was thinking about this week, and here's what I wrote down. Why is fear a bad thing? Because it spreads and poisons others. So not only does your fear affect you, but it's going to eventually begin to affect those around you. God could not use the fearful in the battle, so he sent them home. In Judges chapter 7, verse 3, it says this. Now, therefore, proclaim in the hearing of the people. Gideon had got this giant army to go fight against the enemies of Israel. But God said this. Now, therefore, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. And what happened? We see the same thing today, don't we? Many are fearful. They're hiding at home. They're afraid to leave their homes as the spiritual battle is going on. But if we're going to be part of God's victory and part of the spiritual battle, we can't be living in fear. Otherwise, God will send us home, if you will. And there are people, sadly, that are so fearful, they will not leave their homes. And I don't believe that that's how God wants us to live. Because we're told in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that God has not given us a spirit of fear as believers, but a spirit of power, of love, and of sound mind. And so over and over, we're told not to be afraid in the scripture. We could go over tons of them, but I'll give you a couple of other examples. Psalm 27, verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And so we're taught not to be afraid. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2 says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Now, why do we fear? What causes us to fear? I was thinking about that this morning, and I was wondering, well, you know, why is it that so often we are paralyzed by fear, we are enslaved to fear? Well, what I think is this, and I was sitting in there and I wrote this down before I came out here for the first service. Fear comes from misplaced trust. That's where fear comes from. From trusting in ourselves or trusting in men's wisdom, or trusting in men's opinions. Faith says, I will trust God who is almighty and not be afraid. And then fear is vanquished, then fear vanishes. When we put our trust in the right person, not in the things of the world, not in circumstances, not in ourselves, not in men's wisdom, but trusting in God. And that's really what we need to do. So what we're going to do is we're going to spend some time in worship and praise. The worship team is going to come back up here. In the book of James, like it says, if you're happy, sing songs of praise. We're going to go to our normal time, which is about 20 some minutes from now. And what we're going to do is we're going to be singing. And if you need prayer for any reason, you're struggling with something, there's trouble in your life, you need to commit your heart to Christ, you need prayer for illness, whatever it may be, the Bible says to pray. We want to invite you to come up, whether your need is big or small. Remember, there is no need that's too big for God, and there's no need that is too small. I like what someone said. If it is big enough to concern you, it is big enough to concern God, because he cares about you. And so Jesus said to ask, seek, and knock. James said, you have not because you ask not. So we're to ask, and so we're to be humble. And come up and say, Lord, I need you. You know, I was sharing with a guy after the service this morning, and I was saying, you know, I have been a Christian for 39 years now. And what I can say is this, 39 years ago on Easter Sunday, I surrendered my life to Jesus. But since that day, for 365 days a year, for 39 years straight, every morning, I surrender my life again. And I say, Lord, I'm yours. Lord, lead me, guide me, use me. Lord, I want to serve you. I want to honor you. I want to please you. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, then you have to be willing to deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow him. And so what we're doing is we're saying, Lord, I need you today again. I'm here again, and here's my need. Here I am. I'm yours. And then just give everything to the Lord. That, like I said, he cares about everything that's going on in your life. You might think no one cares, well, God cares. Because he's a father, the greatest father, the most loving father in the universe. He is the father of fathers, the best of the best. So he cares about your life. So the worship team's going to come up. Some of the leadership's going to come up. We're going to be up here. Just come up and say, I need prayer. By the way, my daughter's going to be up here praying with me today. My wife was here in the first service. But when you come up, tell us your name. I might already know your name, but I can tell you this. The second you come up, I will forget your name because I freak out when I have to get pressure with names. It's weird. So just remind us of your name, even if it's my own wife. What's your name? Oh, it's Dia. Okay, good. All right, let's pray for Dia. You know, whatever. So, all right? So we'll be up here for prayer for you. And whatever it is, we want to lift it up before the Lord. The rest of you, just if you feel like, well, I don't really need any prayer, you can pray for other people too. You might want to pray for other people that you know stuff's going on. And we can lift them up before the Lord. Amen? All right, here we go.